Praise the Lord. If you'd like to open your Bibles and we'll get straight into it. I'm a little sensitive about the time. I don't want to bore you. My talk's about our walk of faith speedily. Thought I'd get it in there somewhere. And if you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 18 to start with. It's an interesting concept. I lost a lot of interest in the Olympic Games when they made walking an Olympic sport. It still amazes me when you watch these women and men walking and their hips are moving almost diametrically opposed to the rest of their body. But the interesting thing is, it's like every other sport. They try and push the last 10% of the actual race, giving it all that they've got. And that's the last 10% that they make most of the mistakes and they falter. Don't put the heel down first. Don't have the next foot touching the ground before they lift it. All those silly little things. I do that all the time, just as well I'm not in the Olympics. So these things are interesting because we have a walk which is of much more value than the Olympics. Our walk doesn't get a gold medal and an adulation, as it were, for a few weeks or months and sponsorship deals. We get a crown. And we get a crown for eternity. And the rewards that we get last for eternity, and they don't wear out. And it says that moth doesn't corrupt them. They're not worn away by usage. And this is our walk, our life. In Luke chapter 18, and we read here in verse 8, in fact, we'll go back to verse 7, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though they bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find the faith on the earth?" And it's an interesting concept. I believe our walk is a bit like a two-edged sword or a double-headed coin. On one side, we have the faith delivered to the saints, and we have it ourselves today, no different. And that's our repentance, baptism, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we support that by feeding it, praying, reading, fellowship, witnessing. And on the other side of the coin is our works of faith or faithfulness. These are the things that we do because we love the Lord, because we know what we have and we're called according to his purpose. If you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 16, in verse 25, "For whomsoever will save his life shall lose it. And whomsoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." We read in Luke, "Whoever shall give up his life in this world for my sake shall find it in me." And that's what happens when we get filled with the Spirit. Sometime later we talk about the penny dropping. We get a vision, we get an understanding, any type of metaphorical description you want to give to it. But we give up our life in this world. Otherwise that would not be why we're not all here right now praising the Lord. We decide that we're going to give up this life and the, I guess, challenges and desires to become possibly the greatest crocheter out, the greatest Olympic walker, to get the adulation of men, friends, relatives. I don't know what your dreams may have been before you got saved. But when we get filled with the Spirit, we decide we can still do some of those things, but our desire in life, our career, our calling is now to serve the Lord. We want to follow the Lord according to his precepts and concepts. Matthew chapter 25, please. A bit of the background here is, "And the king calls all the nations for judgment, and he separates the sheep from the goats." And we'll start off here in verse 32. "And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats he shall set on the left hand. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." It's one of my favourite scriptures. It's the promise of God that he sought us before we were even made, that he prepared a place for us before he'd set the foundations of this world, and that he'd called us to a promise after this world has passed away, the love of God. And we move on here and he says in verse 35, "For I was a hungered," in fact, we'll go back, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right-hand side, You are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me, and I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And he said, when did we see a stranger and took him in, or naked and clothed them? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And this is the second half of the coin, or the sword, our walk in the Lord. In faith we serve one another. In faith we minister to one another. The scriptures tell us first to the household of God and then to those without. This calling, as it were, is our life, our walk. I love it because it gives us a family that we would not have in the natural. In the natural, our families may be very nice. I know personally that they vary from very nice to very different. But this is a family that we can rely on. The scriptures tell us that they're closer than a brother, that we have the joy of the oil of Mount Hermon running down upon our crown through the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit. All of this is the unity we have through the Spirit, the oneness through Christ Jesus. So we have this faith delivered unto the saints that we now hold. We hold fast to it, and we'll have it when the Lord returns, and we'll have the promise that comes with it of eternal life. And through that faith, we minister to one another in faithfulness. We do the works. We don't measure our salvation, our righteousness, by works, but Paul said we measure our faith by the works that we do. If we love the Lord, we do these works. We look after one another. We care for one another. Some of the benefits of these things, one of the things I've learned in my walk, it took me a while, Paul talks about becoming a Roman unto the Romans and Gentile unto the Gentiles. And at first I used to think it was about talking about the footy or their interests. But I've since learned that one of the greatest things you can do to a person who is not in the family of God is to treat them like they're in the family of God. Offer to help them out, listen to them when they're in mourning, rejoice with them when they're rejoicing, and offering to help and listen to them when they need advice. And they open their doors, the doors of their heart and mind, and you get a chance to put the testimony of the Lord to them, or put the word of God to them. And the interesting thing is I've noticed that they listen. And to me, I much prefer that when I have a chance to talk to somebody who actually asks questions than to hit a brick wall. The word of God still goes out and performs that for which it was sent. But it's nice to know that you've planted the seed and you've watered, and it's now up to the Lord to give the increase. And they're always there, and they always come back for more. For some unknown reason, they seem to see the sons and daughters of God as their next best friend when you offer to help out. And it's an opportunity. So we have this calling, these works of faith, being filled with the Spirit of God. We know that it's the last days. We're told in the scriptures that the love of many shall wax cold. We're told that there'll be 10 wise virgins, all slumbered and slept, but 5 were wise. 5 continued in the works of righteousness, ministering to one another, caring for one another, witnessing to the people without the fellowship, upholding each other. And that's what kept their cruse of oil ready for the shout and the trump. How much more, or what more should we do as we get closer to that day, that speedy return of the Lord? There's a lot of examples in the Old Testament and the New. One of the ones that I always like, you don't have to turn to it, I'll give you a brief summary. 2 Samuel chapter 23, and pretty much the whole chapter, but I think it's verses about 6 to 20, covers the mighty men of valor of David. In this particular chapter, David was in a cave, Absalom, up on the hill in the valley of Rephaim, and he was holed up there. They'd made it a bit of a hold, so they might have put wood in the front as a balustrade or something, or they'd rolled rocks there, and it was a defendable position. He was there with a small troop. It was in summer, so it was hot, dry, a bit miserable, maybe like last Saturday. And three of the men of valor, in fact, they're the three valiant, mighty men of valor. They're the three lead captains, the elect, the top three of them. Adino, Eleazar, and Shammah. And these three men fought their way through to the cave to visit David. And they got into the cave and they sat down with the other men and David, and probably waxing lyrical about how their crocheting was going, or what they were doing on the weekend. And David just said he was parched and athirst, and it would be great to have a drink from the well at the Jerusalem gate, cold, sweet spring water. And they moved on, and these three men obviously went out and they talked. Now, they weren't very good at crocheting, and maybe they weren't good tent makers, but they had a calling. Their tithe was the Lord. They served the living God of Israel, and they served their Lord, David. And the only thing they could offer was their calling. They were warriors. So they decided they would go and get this drink, this fresh spring water for David to refresh his spirit. And it was not so much a tithe, it wasn't a command that David had given them. It was a free will offering given above what they were required as his soldiers. So they went out of the cave down towards the valley, which was occupied by the Philistines. So they went south and they fought their way through the Philistines, and they headed east. Then they headed northeast, fighting further through the Philistines. It was about 12 kilometres to 14 kilometres in the heat of the day. They got to the Jerusalem gate. There was a small army of Philistines that were occupying Jerusalem. So the gates had Philistine soldiers. They fought the Philistine soldiers, I'm sure, took out the drink, and then they fought all their way back. And they did this because of the love they had for their Lord and their God. They did it because it was all they could offer as praise and as a gesture of their faithfulness. And I look at that and I think, I look around the hall and I see the elect of God, those called according to his purpose. What do we do now that we know that it's the last days, now that we know that we're in that last hour, as it were? Don't know how long that hour will last. But this I do know, every day we expect the Lord's return, but every day we should stir up that gift which is within us. Every day we should look forward to doing those things in faith that the Lord's called us to do. Maybe we're a little tired or a little sick. We're not 100%. We force ourselves to go to a meeting. Why? The Bible says that wherever we are gathered together, there is the body of Christ. And he makes it whole, every whit. And all of us have a part, whether it's the eyes for seeing or the ears for hearing or the mouth for speaking. All of us have a part to serve and to minister one to another. It's a great ministry. Doesn't matter what it is. You might say a word in season. You may be able to offer comfort to a brother or sister that you don't know has a need at the time. It can be simple little things that we do, but can make a huge difference to a person's walk. These things we do in faith because we love the Lord and we love the fellowship. So we're called to this ministry. We might get a bit tired, we might get a bit worn down, but the promises of God to us are that what reward comes to us is eternal life and much more. He said he prepared a place for us from the foundations of the earth. Before we were even created, as it were, he'd already planned for us a reward, a mansion. I'm sure it's not quite like the mansions we'd imagine, but he's going to furnish it for us. If you'd like to turn to 1 John chapter 3, and in verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. A brother and sister may not be at the meetings regularly. They might have illness. They may have problems with a car or lifts. They may have shifts that prevent them from getting to the meetings. They may be ill. It's an opportunity for us to visit, to offer that water of life. Maybe take some cake along. I like pavlova. I'll settle for fruit cake if that's all you've got. But it's the opportunity to bring it, not only the fellowship, but the opportunity to feed them naturally, spiritually, but to care for our brothers and sisters. The opportunity to push in sometimes when we're a little bit tired and worn down, and maybe visit another brother or sister or a person who is interested in the word, or invite somebody from work around for a meal sometime, or invite them to a barbecue at the hall. The opportunity to put ourselves out, pick them up and deliver them to the hall. All these things are works of faithfulness because we love the Lord. They don't make us more righteous. They don't secure our righteousness. That's already been paid for. For as our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, it says, by the sacrifice of Christ. He was the propitiation of our sins, the full payment, all done, all dusted. Revelations 22, and we'll finish up there. So what I see we need to do is not just keep on keeping on with those things that we know to be essential, but we need to stir up the gift which is within us. Press to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. These being the latter days, we see the world as it is. It's full of all these things that would cause you to be either discouraged or to look away from the Lord, to take up your time. The Bible says that we should be redeeming the time in these last days. The word redeem is to purchase back or to add value to. And it's a matter of looking at each hour of the day and what we're doing and what things we can get the best value from. Maybe not sitting in front of the TV or the radio or sitting on our recliner out the back. But maybe we get up and we go and visit somebody. We ring somebody up and say hello. Redeeming the time. For these are the last days. The world is here and set up to cause us to slumber and sleep. We're told a little folding of the hands, a little nodding of the head, and so does slumber come upon us. We won't let it happen if we can. We'll stir ourselves up. We'll stir each other up. In Revelation 22, and we'll finish here in verse 12, it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." And the word work here is ergo. It's career, calling, business. It's our life. And that's what we've been called to. To fulfill our life in this body until the Lord comes back and gives us the rewards that we rightly deserve in serving him. And all the people said,